Yes, that is correct. I have one speaker card here, Millie Cleveland. Hello,
Good
Millie.
Evening. My name is Millie Cleveland. I'm the union field representative assigned to the bargaining unit here. I wanted to say that we are very pleased with the contract we were able to negotiate. I think we work collaboratively to deal with the needs of the agencies as well as the needs of the workers. And I hope that we will continue to be able to work together. I think we have a big fight ahead of us, preserving the needs of low-income people and affordable housing with the Trump administration and your new leader, Ben Carson. So hopefully we can continue to work together with this fight. It's very serious. Thank you.
Thank you, Millie.
Thank you very much, Millie. Okay, so do we have questions on this item? Motion?
Move to approve.
Move to approve.
Yes.
A second.
It's been seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners. On to item 4D, consideration of a resolution authorizing a three-year MOU between the authority and local 10-to-1 service employees maintenance unit and associated resolution approving a retiring medical vesting schedule as required by CalPERS. Staff's available for any questions. This was discussed in closed session.
If there are no questions, is there a motion?
So moved.
Approved. Moved.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners. Moving on to item E. Item E is consideration of a resolution authorizing cost of living adjustments for employees of the authority not subject to an MOU, including professional management and executive level staff, and one associated resolution approving a retiring medical vesting schedule as required by CalPERS. This item will give reciprocal increases and benefits to the unrepresented that are in the union MOUs. And staff's available for any questions.
If no questions, is there a motion? Item has been moved.
Montgomery.
Commissioner Montgomery.
I'll second.
Okay, great.
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Moving on to item F. Consideration of a resolution authorizing a three-year MOU between the authority and the Building Construction Trades Council of Alameda County and one associated resolution approving a retiree medical vesting schedule as required by CalPERS. Again, this item was discussed in closed session. Is moved forward for your consideration and approval.
And, okay, it has been moved by Commissioner Hurd.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'll second.
It has been seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Consideration of a resolution authorizing a three-year MOU between the authority and the Building Construction Trades Council. Didn't we just do this? Where are we on the... Let me,
G.
G can... Wait. No, we skipped 29. F is the one we need to do. We just did G, but let's go back to F.
Okay, so I'm going back to F.
Can you go back a slide? Yes. Consideration of a resolution authorizing a three-year MOU between the authority and local 29 Office and Professional Employees International Union, one associated resolution approving a retiree medical vesting schedule as required by CalPERS. This, again, was discussed in closed session along with the other items. No, we voted actually on the building and trades. So we're on F.
Yeah, we had the letter right, but the content was different.
Yes.
So now we are correcting the content.
We are correcting it. This is for Local 29.
Okay, do you have a motion?
I move approval.
Go ahead.
I second.
Okay, item has been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Very good. And that takes care of all of the union MOUs and unrepresented on the list, I believe. We've moved them all, and I just want to thank the staff who negotiated and the union representatives and the people who are here. It's the first time, I think, in anyone's memory, we've been able to get an agreement this soon in a contract, and I'm grateful for it. Now we're moving on to the...
Yes, and I'd like to back that up. I mean, I think everyone is really... I mean, it seems that this was a very... It feels to us like this was a very amicable negotiation here, and I'm really pleased to see that it sounds like everyone on all sides is satisfied, because that is really what this commission desires. We want everybody to come away from these negotiations feeling like they have all won. Yes. That is our goal.
Thank you.
So now are we going to do the other two?
We're going to move to A. Yeah. So no, going back to A. Back to A is a consideration of 7 resolutions authorizing the executive director to conditionally award 490 project-based vouchers to the Building Opportunities for Self-Sufficiency for 11 project-based vouchers, Bridge for 80 project-based vouchers, Christian Church Homes for 81 project-based vouchers, East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation for 71 vouchers, Mercy Housing for 92 project-based vouchers, Resources for Community Development for 79 project-based vouchers, and Satellite Affordable Housing Associates for 76 project-based vouchers. Andreas Manriquez, our Chief Operating Officer, and Michelle Hassan are here to go over these project awards. These are the result of an RFQ that we issued that grew out of the work the board did for our services-enriched housing discussions. This one particularly has to do with trying to utilize our vouchers in the most efficient way to preserve housing, and also to go a step farther, to be able to voucher in place to preserve current Oakland residents in the units in which they're living in. And the way we can do that is by awarding project-based vouchers to eligible families in these kinds of projects. So I'll turn it over to Michelle and Andreas. And I suppose our laptop still isn't working. I'm just hoping.
That is correct.
Is it still not working?
Do we have the presentation?
The copies are coming shortly.
Okay, so we'll get those to you. But if you can walk us through the developments.
Sure. Good evening, Commissioners. Michelle Hassan, Director of Leased Housing, and I have here as well Andres Manriquez.
I do want to make one other comment,
yes.
By the way. You have a revised board item which revises some of the resolutions. Jennifer reviewed the packet and wanted us to actually list the owner entities in each resolution so that the awardees will have the list of who the actual owner entity is. We usually just put that in the letter because at the time we do project awards, they're not built. We usually do them prospectively, and we change that later. This time we know who they are. So we've included those in all the revised resolutions, and they're on your desk.
So those are located where?
If you look,
it's
the red, yes.
Oh, that's the handout.
Yes, and if you go to the second page of the memo,
perfect.
You'll see we
perfect.
Just added
thank
the names.
Good.
Great. Go on, Michelle.
Here.
Oh, Doug's here.
We might have a laptop.
Okay.
While they're getting the possible laptop ready, let me just first thank everyone who participated in this effort. It really took a number of individuals within the agency. I do want to acknowledge our Executive Director, Eric Johnson, for the vision to look outside the box on how we can serve families, Andres Manriquez. Additionally, Doug Lee, Senior Management Analyst, Daryl Moore, Senior Management Analyst, Sasha Wiskowski, Asset Manager, Anna Kadenaska, the Director of Asset Management, Julie Christensen, Senior Policy Analyst, Dominica Henderson, Director of PIC, Courtney Cresswell, Contract Specialist, Rufus Davis, Labor Compliance Officer, and Daniel Mermerstein, the Manager of CCGS. It's just important that you all know how we got here. It took a effort of a number of individuals to come together to get this done. So in the audience, we do have partners, so if you have any specific questions about any of the projects, they can answer those. So let me give you a little background on what we're presenting this evening. On July the 8th, 2016, the Oakland Housing Authority issued a request for qualifications, 16008. It invited qualified owners, property managers, and developers of rental property to submit to written proposals demonstrating their interest in securing project-based voucher rental assistance for existing units. The RFQ was for the following housing types: housing units that would be immediately available to eligible low-income individuals and families, housing units where there is an ability for eligible households to voucher in place, housing units available for special need populations and homeless veterans. And one of the criteria was that they could be a non-contiguous sites of 10 units or more. So that's the background in terms of issuing the RFQ. The principal goals of this effort were to preserve affordable housing units available to low-income current and future families for up to 15 years, to increase the supply of existing affordable housing units in Oakland available to low-income households, including special needs populations, to utilize existing OHA resources to serve as many Oakland households as possible, and to increase the supply of services serving housing, serving veterans and those at risk of homelessness. An overview of all the projects.
It's working. Thank you all.
The overview of all projects. Proposals were due September the 14th, 2016. That was round one. The evaluation committee convened October 13th, 2016. The total number of units were up to 490 that were submitted. Total number of properties were 20. Housing types were submitted were studios, 1 to 3 bedroom units, multi-unit buildings, conversions of current shelter plus care and mod rehab units. The populations served by the proposals were low-income families, seniors, veterans, homeless families, and many special need populations. Supportive services that are offered by our partners: case management, mental health, employment, substance abuse recovery, educational, payee services, and medical services. I'd like to show you, just so you have an idea of where these projects are located. They are throughout the city of Oakland. We have two projects in North Oakland, one that does straddle Emeryville, the Ambassador Apartments. West Oakland, 4 projects, the Town Center at Acorn, Courtyards at Acorn, Adeline Street Lofts, Sylvester Rutledge Manor. Downtown Oakland, Madison Apartments, Oak Street Terrace. Central Oakland, Rosa Parks House, Hamilton Apartments, Fox Courts. And then East Oakland, International Boulevard Apartments, Stanley Avenue Apartments, Hisman Hugh Apartments, Oak Park Apartments, and 7 Directions. A map will show you the locations of the project. So we're very excited that we're able to serve individuals throughout Oakland. I'll now present to you projects by the vendor or the proposer. We had projects that were submitted by Bridge Housing, Inc. The first project is the Courtyards at Acorn. The site location is 923 Adeline Street in Oakland. The total number of units that were being requested are 30. Unit types, studios, 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, and the population served are families. The next project submitted by Bridge, Town Center at Acorn at 1143 10th Street in Oakland. The total number of units requested, 50 units. Unit types, 4 studios, 10 1-bedrooms, 22 bedrooms, 16 3-bedrooms, and again, the population served families. Next, I'd like to present to you Satellite Affordable Housing projects. Satellite Affordable Housing presented at the Madison Apartments, the site location, 1660 14th Street, 31 units, PVVs requested, housing type are pretty much an apartment units, unit types, 8 1-bedrooms, 12 2-bedrooms, 5 3-bedrooms, again, population served families. Also submitted were the Oak Street Terrace, 1109 Oak Street, 25 units requested, all unit type senior, population served seniors. I'm sorry, all unit types were studios and population served were seniors. Adeline Lofts was also presented, 1131 24th Street, 20 PVVs requested, housing type apartments, unit types, 7 1 bedrooms, 5 2 bedrooms, 8 3 bedrooms, population served families. Our next presenter was Building Opportunities for Self-Sufficiency BOSS. BOSS presented Rosa Parks House, which is located at 521 West Grand Avenue. Total number requested, 11 PVVs. It is a currently supportive transitional housing. Unit types, studios, 1 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, and family served. I believe those are currently families. They are in a supportive transitional housing current program. Our next proposer was Mercy Housing. Mercy Housing presented the Hamilton Apartments, located at 510 21st Street. A total of 92 units requested. It is currently a mod rehab studio apartment building, and they're looking at converting the mod rehab units to project-based vouchers. All units are studios. They currently serve low-income adults. The next proposal we received was from Resources for Community Development. RCD presented the Ambassador Apartments, located at 3610 Peralta. This is the property that straddles Oakland and Emeryville. A total number of units requested were 10. Housing type are apartments, unit types, 2 1 bedrooms, 8 2 bedrooms, population served adults. We also received Drachma Apartments. These are scattered sites throughout West Oakland. Total number of units, 11. Currently affordable housing, there is an existing PVV HAP contract for 14 units already in place. Unit types, 1 studio, 2 1 bedrooms, 7 2 bedrooms, and 1 3 bedroom serving low income families. We additionally received the Fox Courts from RCD, site location 555 19th Street. Total number requested 13 units, affordable apartments. There currently is an existing PVV contract for 20 units at the site. The unit types that make up the 13 units are 5 studios, 4 1 bedrooms, 1 2 bedroom, and 3 3 bedrooms. The population served low-income families. RCD additionally presented International Boulevard Apartments, located at 6600 International Boulevard and 1406 Seminary Avenue. They are requesting 18 PVVs. The current housing type, shelter plus care, and housing opportunities for persons with AIDS, HOPWA. Unit type, 6 1 bedrooms, 9 2 bedrooms, 3 3 bedrooms, population served, persons with disabilities. Additionally submitted were the Northgate Apartments, 2301 Northgate Avenue. Total number of units requested, 14. Affordable housing currently, we recently did a 202 opt-out at this site and issued vouchers to preservation vouchers to some of the families. The housing type are 8 2 bedrooms, 6 3 bedrooms, and the population served are families. And then finally from RCD, the Stanley Apartments, 6000 and 6006 International Boulevard. 13 project-based voucher units. Housing type currently shelter plus care and HOPWA units. Unit types, 5 1 bedrooms, 4 2 bedrooms, 4 3 bedrooms, population served, persons with disabilities and families. Our next request comes from East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation, Ibalsi. Ibalsi presented Hisman Hinyu Apartments. The site is at 2555 International Boulevard. Number of PVVs being requested, 10. Affordable housing apartments is the housing type, and they're 10 one-bedroom units, and they do serve families. Additionally, received from Ibalsi the Oak Park Apartments at 2618 East 16th Street, up to 10 units. Affordable apartments, unit type, 10 one-bedrooms, population served, families. We received from Ibalsi a request for PVVs for the San Pablo Hotel, located at 1955 San Pablo Avenue. Total units requested, 31. Current housing type, affordable studios and SROs. They are requesting for 31 studios. The population served, seniors 55 years and older. We received a request from Ibalsi for 7 directions. The site is located at 2946 International Boulevard. They're requesting 10 PVV units. There is an existing 18 project-based units under HAP contract currently. The housing type is affordable apartments, and these are 10 one-bedroom units for families. Received from Ibalsi was the Swans Market project, located at 918 Clay Street. Total number of units, 10 PVVs. Affordable housing apartments. The unit type are 10 one-bedrooms, and the population served would be families. Of course, last but not least, Christian Church Homes provided a proposal for the Bishop Ray C. Nichols site, located at 1027 60th Street. The request is for 17 PVVs. Housing type are apartments. There's 17 one-bedroom units. The population served are seniors. We have the Sylvester Rutledge Manor, located at 3255 San Pablo Avenue. The total number of PVVs requested were 64. Housing type, apartments. Unit type, 64 one-bedrooms. And the population served are seniors. That presents the 490 units that we received for your consideration. This would increase our PVV count. I think we would then be up to around 3,200. These are for families that are in place. So it's very exciting, families who are not being subsidized, the possibility that they could have affordable housing in the very near future. We appreciate your consideration for these proposals. And if you have any questions.
I'm sorry, you should recuse yourself.
I'm going to be recusing myself from this vote, and this is because I'm a member of the Board of Directors for Building Opportunities for Self-Sufficiency, which is one of the entities being considered for the Water Project Mixed Vouchers. So,
So if you want to step out,
thank you.
All right. Okay, so do we have any questions?
Yeah, my question is the award is conditioned upon the projects receiving their environmental clearances?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay, could you explain that?
Sure, there are a number of requirements that will happen once the approvals are made. The first step will be that the staff will issue award letters to all of the proposals. We will then set a meeting with all of the individuals that have been approved to walk them through each of the steps. Each of the sites does have to meet an environmental review. And we currently use the City of Oakland for our environmental impact reviews. Partners can also use their own service if they have one. But it does have to pass substantially, ensuring that there are no environmental issues.
So, just an example of an environmental issue that...
These are probably going to be categorically exempt, but mm-hmm. We have to make that determination through the city. We can't, HUD will not allow us to issue these without the environmental review being done. The environmental review is a very broad review, and these are existing units that are already affordable, so it's, I think, the vast majority, if not all, are going to be categorically exempt, but we have to jump through the hoop. Mm-hmm. Environmental reviews are stronger when you have new construction, and you go, and if these were new constructions, they would get their environmental reviews. CEQA and NEPA, we get NEPA because this is national, so this is a NEPA review. The CEQA review, which is California, is actually more rigorous than the NEPA, but you can get them both at the same time, and people generally do. It's one of the hoops. The other hoop is they all have to pass HQS. We are going to be able to get that done, but the first one is actually the NEPA review. If they've already had that or they get them themselves and bring it to us, we can issue the contract right away. Otherwise, we're going to have to wait, and mm-hmm. we'll help them take care of that if they can't do it or haven't done it. But I think all of the groups on this slide have very good knowledge of a NEPA review, and they'll be able to submit timely what they need done. Yes.
So the vouchers stay with the unit. So if someone passes away or moves, the person, whoever's on the wait list, will still be
That's
able
correct.
To have available
mm-hmm.
that voucher. Okay.
So the subsidy stays with the unit for project-based vouchers.
And one of the things, honestly, and given the change or the alleged change that's going to occur in January, and I'm working on acceptance, that if the administration does change, and I think that if they do try and make changes to our existing Section 8 programs, I don't think they'll impact existing tenants, or there'll be more grief if they do. And I think locking units down in the long term with tenants in place will help preserve our program and the affordability of these units. So I think we're doing this in the nick of time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I had a follow-up question to Commissioner Montgomery's question, which is, I think many of these buildings got environmental clearance when they were first under construction or prior to being constructed. So would that count, or will they have to go through another review process?
They have to go through another.
Yeah, and that can, and maybe because they've got that, it can be amended and happen mm-hmm. quicker is what we're hoping, but we'll need to work with the city, and they can also work with their consultant and get it done quickly as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Did you have another question? Oh, you're finished. No, I think we're, I just had one question. How many of these vouchers will be going to tenants in place versus
that's something we'll get through with eligibility. It depends if they're income eligible mm-hmm. and otherwise eligible. If they're eligible, the voucher in place. Otherwise, we'll hold on to the voucher until there's a vacancy, and then the new person will get the voucher. Whoever leases, it'll be leased to an eligible person. My guess is everybody's going to be eligible. They probably won't find somebody who isn't, but you don't know till you get into mm-hmm. the system.
So I guess what was running through my mind here is that these submissions were all made by pretty well-known organizations. And I just wonder if this, I mean, supposing I were living in a unit, you know, owned by whoever, would I not be able to be part of this simply because I was renting a unit from the wrong people? I mean, in other words, I didn't have someone who was large enough to really understand this and make the request. So it's kind of like it's just a question of sort of looking at these issues of fairness and making sure, you know, that people aren't just kind of like getting too much luck because of where they live.
So what I would say, Commissioner Hartwig, is certainly this is our first effort. Once we get through this first effort, I think we can do some outreach and maybe in the future issue another RFQ if we find that we need more units under this type of process. Certainly, I think it would help that some of the partners do know about project-based vouchers, what the rules are, what HUD has stated are required. I think it will help some of these families get relief from the rents that they may be paying. So it may just have been familiarity with the RFQ language for the partners who responded, but we are definitely committed to outreach for some of our mom and pops in the future who might be interested in this kind of opportunity. We did do some outreach to landlords who are not these partners, and many of them just said, you know, right now they weren't ready. But we will continue to do outreach to educate our landlords on some of the opportunities that may come forth in the future.
I see, okay. Okay, thank you. If there are no further questions, would anyone like to make a motion?
Go ahead. I'll move the item. Second. Go ahead.
I second.
All right. Then all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, abstentions, item carries.
Thank you, Commissioners. And that takes us back to item B, which is...
And now let's just wait 1 second for Commissioner Hurd.
Make sure that Commissioner Hurd can return to the room. She's listening.
Here she comes.
There she is. Great.
All right.
So moving on to item B, which is consideration of 6 resolutions authorizing the award of MTW local housing assistance, operating assistance to 289 housing units and authorizing the executive director to execute a local housing assistance program agreement with an initial term of up to 15 years with the City of Oakland, East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation, Operation Dignity, Resources for Community Development, Satellite Affordable Housing Associates, and St. Mary's Center. This is a first for us. We've never extended this sort of operating agreement for SROs. It's taking the form of an MTW local program, and it will be a subsidy that is not calculated based on their rent, but it'll be an operating subsidy for the units that we're assisting. We're going to walk through the different proposals, and Michelle's going to do that. Ultimately, this will take the form of a contract for each one of the sites that you're going to hear. The contract will operate very much like the public housing operating agreement, in that you're going to get paid an operating subsidy for the property. You'll have management and occupancy reviews that will be done by our asset development department, or asset management department. And Anna Kadanovskaya, I think, is here, and she's been working already drafting and developing those contracts and agreements, and she'll be expanding her department to facilitate monitoring and compliance reviews for this portfolio. The amount of assistance that they're going to receive, is that in the slide? I haven't reviewed it.
I don't believe that it is.
Do you want to explain the flat?
Yes. So we will use rent reasonableness to determine a rent for the units. The owner will receive a subsidy from us, a local operating subsidy, 75% of the flat rent, and then the tenant can pay up to 25% of that for rent. So it's not income based. It's just based on the contract rent. The housing authority will do an initial review to make sure families meet the 50% income level. And after that, really, it's between asset management monitoring the operating agreement and working with the service providers. All of these proposals must have a service provision. And so that's one thing that is different from the first RFQ. And you will see some of the services that these nonprofits are providing to the residents at their properties.
So do you want to walk us through the sites?
Yes.
In the presentation?
So I'll go over background, principal goals, the overview of projects recommended for award, and then we'll have questions and feedback. So again, the background is that July the 8th, we issued an RFQ. We invited owners, property managers, developers, to submit for service-enriched rental housing in Oakland. This is for MTW Local Housing Assistance Program. The three housing types were service-enriched single-room occupancy SRO units, shared housing units set aside for veterans, emancipated youth, or other special needs programs, and transitional housing units set aside for veterans or special needs or emancipated youth. The principal goals of this effort were to preserve affordable SRO, shared and transitional housing units available to low-income families, individuals for up to 15 years for current and future residents of those units, increase the supply of affordable housing units available to low-income households, utilizing OHA's MTW authority and resources to serve as many Oakland households as possible, increase the availability of affordable housing units serving veterans, service-enriched housing options, and those at risk of homelessness.
And
oh, there we go. One more. Oh, okay. All right, next. So our overview of all the projects. Proposals were due September 14th. An evaluation committee convened October 7th. The total number of units requested were 289. Total number of properties, 15. The housing types that were submitted were SRO, transitional, shared, hotel, motel, and single-family homes, as well as multi-unit apartments. Population served, low-income, veterans, homeless families, and special need populations, supportive services that are being offered, case management, mental health assistance, employment, substance abuse recovery, educational services, and payee services. Next slide. As you'll see, in terms of project locations, the Peter Babcock House is on the border of Oakland and Berkeley. 75% of this project is actually in the city of Oakland. Downtown, we have the Henry Robinson, the Harrison Hotel, House of Dignity, and the Madrone Hotel. West Oakland, we have Closer to Home, San Pablo Hotel, Preservation House, and Families in Transition. And then in East Oakland, Matilda Cleveland, and Families in Transition. You'll see the map that shows the projects really are throughout the city of Oakland. Our first proposal that will be reviewed are those from Satellite Affordable Housing. Satellite presented Peter Babcock House, which are five units. Site location, 2350 Woolsey Street, Berkeley, Oakland. The housing type is shared. The population served, formerly homeless with special needs. The on-site supportive services, case management, health and quality of life assessments, referrals to resources for substance abuse, mental health, and HIV services. Our next proposal came from Operation Dignity. Operation Dignity is requesting 20 of 56 total units at 585 8th Street in Oakland. This is the old Aztec Hotel. Housing type, single room occupancy, transitional, up to 24 months. Population served, homeless veterans. Supportive services, employment search support, benefits acquisition, addiction recovery, financial skill building. They also have a food program on site as well as case management. Our next proposals are from the Resources for Community Development, RCD. RCD presented the Harrison Hotel, a total of 22 units from that site. The site is located at 1450 Harrison Street. The housing type is single room occupancy. The population served are homeless persons living with HIV/AIDS, mental health consumers, as well as special needs. Supportive services are provided by Lifelong Medical Care, and RCD also provides its own case management services. The City of Oakland presented a number of projects. The first, Families in Transition, a total of nine units, scattered throughout the East Oakland, located at 1936 84th Avenue, 3501 Adeline, 5239 through 41 Bancroft Avenue, 6850 Halliday, and 173 Hunter Avenue. These are primarily single-family homes and one four-unit property and their transitional housing. The housing are for homeless individuals and families with children. They do follow a housing first model. Supportive services, they do needs assessment within 30 days of the family coming on site, employment, health services, housing search, as well as behavioral health assistance. The City of Oakland also presented the Henry Robinson, downtown Oakland, 62 units, 559 16th Street in Oakland. Housing type, single room occupancy hotel, transitional housing, follows a housing first model. Population served, homeless adults, mental health with mental health disabilities, substance abuse recovery, physical, and those with physical and chronic health conditions. Supportive services, needs assessment. They also leverage community partnerships such as Barrier Community Services, BATS, employment services, health and educational services. City of Oakland submitted Matilda Cleveland, which are 14 units. The site is located at 8314 MacArthur Boulevard. It's a renovated motel, single room occupancy, transitional, that follows a housing first model. Population served, homeless, single parents with children. Supportive services, family coordinated entry pilot program, case management, mental health services and substance recovery, employment and permanent housing search. Our next presenter proposal was from St. Mary's Center. St. Mary's presented the Presentation House, which are a total of nine units, located at 1114, 1118, 32nd Street. These are nine single bedrooms. Single rooms, shared housing, population served, homeless seniors, 55 years and older. Supportive services, mental health recovery, payee program, intensive case management, and housing clinic, food services, as well as health assessments. St. Mary's additionally provided a proposal for closer to home. Closer to home is a seven-bedroom property at 3202 San Pablo Avenue. The housing type is permanent, supportive, and shared housing for homeless seniors 55 years and older. Supportive services include mental health recovery, payee program, intensive case management. They have a housing clinic, food services, as well as health assessments. Our final proposal comes from East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation, EBALSI. EBALSI presented the San Pablo Hotel, a total of 110 units, 1955 San Pablo Avenue. It's a single room occupancy hotel. The population served seniors 55 years and older. Supportive services include the Centers of Elders Independence, which is located in the building, and resident services coordinators provide resident events, financial resources, payee for payee services, food and for rent, and also mental health counseling services. EBALSI submitted additionally the Madrone Hotel, a total of 31 units, site location 477 8th Street, single room occupancy, population served elderly, formerly homeless individuals and persons with disabilities. They provide on-site property manage and leverage community resources for the residents. Those are the 289 units that were presented for your consideration for our local housing assistance program for existing housing units.
Thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. This will be an interesting experiment, but I'm also thrilled that we're able to extend supportive housing. We talked about it in the supportive housing committee meetings last year. It's phase one of our three-phase approaches. We've also identified two partnerships with the county that will take a similar look, though on a participant level, one for emancipated foster youth and the other for CalWORKs mothers who are formerly homeless and get housed through the county, and then we'll walk in with some housing assistance that will also not be Section 8. This piece brings, we were looking for services in the population. The other thing we've talked about is over the past year and a half with the housing crisis, we've looked at properties, and a couple of them that have been for sale have come across my desk because they do get, we get offered things, and I'm able to request information on them as a perspective. Even if they're already affordable, I don't really have an interest in acquiring them, but to see how they operate. And there was one that came across that we had project-based vouchers on part of it. Part of it was market rate, and there was a smaller building in the middle that was SROs. And it was the first time I saw sort of the long-term pro forma on an SRO and what the rents are and who's living there. And it, I was completely impressed by the fact that it's an absolutely essential resource for a population in Oakland and deserves some preservation. It's been under such pressure. The city's looking at ways to preserve them. I'm looking at ways to preserve and enhance them, to stabilize the populations that are on site, to make sure that we can afford services for them and that the tenants who are in those units aren't forced to vacate because they can't meet the rent. We're trying to stop that cycle with some of these actions. The Empyrean Hotel, which you've taken action for and supported, is another rescue effort on behalf of this agency to try and preserve SROs. Now, in that case, it's an SRO now. It's going to be converted to studios and one bedrooms. Fewer units, but still a significant number of units that will be long-term project-based Section 8. But there's also the need, I think, for preserving SROs. They really are a housing resource, and a housing resource in a metropolitan area that is so under pressure. And adding it as a possible, more permanent solution, but with services, I think is going to really enhance these properties. I'm grateful for the submissions. A lot of folks are here. There's one I know particularly that has been looking to try and get some additional resources for the project to help preserve it, and I know this is going to rescue at least one of them, I think. And I'm grateful for the people who are here in the partnership, and we've also had a huge turnout for both of these, of all the partners, and you know them all, and I think everyone on the list. We've mostly done work with. There are a couple of new folks, Operation Dignity, St. Mary's, that we don't have agreements with, although we certainly know. The other thing, just wanted to point out that we were, in terms of the city's projects, that we were able to do something about the Henry Robinson, which has been a victim of a failure in the federal government to realize that there is a need for transitional housing in this world, and that although housing first is a mantra, it can't be an absolute. And you do need to have transition, and we're able through this program, I think, to operate that, and I'm grateful to be able to, that they brought it forward, and we're going to be able to help preserve that, because as you may have known or heard, HUD abandoned it. So it's one more MTW authority I think we're able to do what's right for our neighborhood and our community in preserving that. So with that, we're available for any questions and recommend approval.
Did you say something?
You may say something?
Yes.
Who are the organizations out there? Can you identify yourself? Who are you?
Well, why don't I just go down a list, and if you're here from a group, raise your hand. From BOSS, I think we have someone who would go down. Maybe they didn't make it. Bridge Housing, I'm not sure if Jamie came. Jamie just left. We love them. Okay. Christian Church Home, Don Stump just left. Ebalsi, I see Joshua Simon in the crowd. Thank you for being here, Joshua. Mercy Housing, is Jennifer Dolan here?
Okay,
thank you. RCD, Mary, you're back there. Mary Dorst, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate you being here. Saha, I don't know if Sarah's here. Yep. And City of Oakland, I don't see Suzanne Sheldon in the house, so I'm just going to be here in support of the City of Oakland as a long-term partner of this agency. Operation Dignity, Judy, thank you for being here.
Wonderful.
And I don't know if Phil's here, Phil Clark from...
Thank you. Okay, great. All right. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm really pleased with this as someone who was once homeless. Coming out of homelessness is very important. And I stayed in an SRO. That was my first place of housing. So I totally support this. I did want to know, Director, if we're going to get a copy of this presentation.
Yeah, it'll be printed, or we'll
okay,
get it. Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't get it before.
As
you saw, we're just putting it together.
Great. The other thing that I was really pleased to see is the services. services that you offer is vitally important to people who are coming out of homes and people with mental illness. So I applaud you all for the work that you do to help our residents and those who need your services. Thank you. And I'll move the item if there are no other questions.
And I'll second.
Huh? Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's been moved, seconded. I actually do have I have a question. No, it's fine. We're all good. I just wondered, you know, I was just curious as to how the decision is made to do this type of direct subsidy versus vouchers. And what drives that? And then the second part of the question is what is the budgetary impact of this? Where is that coming from?
Yeah, the answer to the first question is a voucher couldn't be used in this way.
A what?
Vouchers could not be used in SROs, transitional, this type of housing. So using a voucher in this manner would be impossible. It wouldn't be eligible.
And why is that?
Because of the restrictions on the voucher.
Got it.
So in order to do it, we have to come up with a local program, which we're entitled to do under MTW.
Got it.
So that's the first threshold. The second one is the subsidy in these units is not a deep, it's a fixed subsidy per household. So it's actually what we call in our vernacular with HUD, a shallow subsidy. It's not tied to their income. So there may be people living in these units that are more rent burdened than 30% of their income, maybe less. There'll be an income eligibility. So in terms of the cost, it's actually costing us less for these units than a regular Section 8 voucher.
Yes.
So we're able to serve people in these units at less cost than we serve a person in a Section 8 voucher in a one-bedroom.
It's costing us less.
Yes, because the rent is less and because we're doing a fixed amount of rent assistance.
But we're getting the voucher and these are HAP payments, right?
No, it's HAP dollars, but they're not coming out as HAP payments. We our pool of money is HAP money, so it's housing assistance payment, of which we get about $200 million a year.
Right.
So we're choosing to not issue a certain number of vouchers and instead do this local program.
Oh, I see. So the money comes to us. I see. I was confused on that. So it comes to us as the overall HAP budget.
Yeah.
And then we have a choice
of which road to go down.
Because we're MTW, of which venue we use.
Yeah, and that's where we get into the funding fungibility of the MTW program.
Oh, that's...
And its ability to do local programs. So we do this one. We do our sponsor-based program, which is another local program.
Yeah.
Which it serves 125 formerly incarcerated individuals, chronically homeless, and 25 juveniles exiting the juvenile justice system in a local program. All those are local programs. We couldn't normally do them under the Section 8 model.
I see. Yeah, I was aware of the program. I didn't know that there was coming
case,
out of HAP funds.
And CalWORKs moms, we're going to mimic the housing assistance that the county's doing, but we wanted to keep it a local program because their participation in our program is going to be tied to their participation in CalWORKs. And when they graduate off CalWORKs, they can then request a voucher from us, and we'll get to that one down the road once we get that contract in place. So that's a hybrid. We're starting as a local program, ending as a Section 8. But in this case, it stays as an operating subsidy to the property. Mm-hmm. So the whole property has to pass HQS. That's going to be the challenge for everyone to make. And if there's a fail, it can impact all the units. So there's some real challenges in that. It's not a Section 8 voucher, but it is an operating subsidy. It's going to be a 15-year agreement. So we're hoping that if you need lending, that you can take it to the bank. And if you can't, we're more than happy to talk to the bank and see what we can do about that.
So now I'm also curious now, with regard to compliance with MTW guidelines, insofar as we need to keep serving the same number of families, that they don't want to see us dropping off, which would not be good.
Substantially the same number.
So if we have a split, the split between local programs and vouchers, are they all counted equally?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we have our baseline, and these all add on top.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for clarifying that. Beautiful. Yes, Commissioner Lee.
Just a comment. I've served on the Special Needs Committee, and we've discussed this actually fairly recently with along with Commissioner Hurd and Commissioner Castillo, who serves as chair. And just how pleased I am to see this brought so quickly forth because of the great need and the housing crisis we're experiencing. So I wanted to thank Director Johnson and Director Hassan and COO Manriquez for all, and other staff who all worked so hard on this and helping make this happen, and so pleased to see the number of nonprofits who've come forward.
Yes, and I would add that it also really showed, just to build on that, it really shows that this process that we're doing here of involving people from everywhere, actually getting commissioners involved into things like this, you know, is really working. I mean, I'm really glad to see that. Open-minded, receptive people are a pleasure to be around and make the world work better. Okay, so if there are no more comments, we have, it's been moved, it's been seconded, so we're voting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? There are none. Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you.
We're moving on to consent. I do have one correction on the first resolution regarding ADP. There is a date in the title of the resolution, 2019. It should actually be 2020 for a three-year contract. We caught that this morning. The actual recital otherwise is fine. So if we move consent, it's with that change is what I would like to move forward.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, we are on consent now, so we're either looking for questions or a motion. Okay, it has been moved.
I'll move, make a motion to move the item.
Okay, consent has been moved.
I second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners.
All right, we are agreeable. All right.
Moving on, recognition of people who are wishing to address the Commission.
Yes.
I think we have one card.
I believe we do. We have one card from a Mr. Fred Jordan.
Good afternoon. I mean, good evening on board. I have to come in because the last time I was here, you guys had set me up with a meeting with someone else. And, well, you know, we had a difference in what the paperwork was saying. So I need someone to tell me what this paperwork was saying, because this paperwork had people call my family thieves and all kind of stuff. So I need someone to tell me what this paper is saying. It says, well, I can read it to you here. It says, rental amount paid, amount due, and you know amount unpaid. But the man tell me that the paper says I owe $491, where it says I paid $491. So he was in there trying to convince me that this paper is saying that I owe $491. So I went in with a voucher, left out without a voucher because he took the voucher saying I owe $491. So I need someone to tell me what this paper says. Not only that, so he brings out his ledger and shows me on the ledger where it says I paid $1,650 in November. You evicted me in November. You evicted me for November, December, and January. How you gonna say that I paid my rent in November and you evicted me for those months? You know, so I need some help here. I just need some help.
Have you been down to a legal assistance center to try and get some help?
I went down to the legal assistance, but you guys had already evicted me. And once you already had been evicted, it's nothing they can do about that. You know, you guys had told me that you're going to send me a letter explaining to me when I went down there on 25th that, oh, we'll send you a letter. The letter that came was the eviction paper because I didn't go to court. So now you're telling me this paper here that says I paid $491 is saying that I owe $491. Now you done took the voucher back from me. You know, this not right here. So, and then you call me saying that I spent the money, or my family members came over and took the money and didn't tell me. You know, come on, man. Come on, stop. Come on. You disrespecting my family. It's really getting me upset because of the way he carried out in this meeting. She wasn't professional at all. So somebody tell me what this paper is saying, please.
Can I hand this over here?
Well,
you can submit it. They're not able to respond
okay.
to you.
Yes. Can we do something to clarify the document?
I can get you a written response. I'll look at it and see if I can get you something that
a
clarifies
written response.
It. But
this is about, you know, what about my voucher? I went in with a voucher. Now I don't have a voucher. What kind of written response is that?
You're probably going to get a response.
I came in here for help.
And you may not
and
be
I
able
had
to,
a voucher. And wait a minute. Let me finish. I came in here with help, for help. Mm-hmm. With a voucher. You sent me with your number two guy. I left out of his meeting without a voucher saying that I owe $491 for a paper that's saying I paid $491. How's you helping? I'm wondering what kind of help is you guys giving people that need help, man? This not right. This not right at all. Now you want to send me a paper, a written response? I need my voucher. I need the apartment. A written paper response ain't going to help me at all in this situation. I am homeless, man. I am homeless. What is a written paper going to do for me? Now you done took the voucher, and all you want to do is give me a written paper explaining something to me? What is it going to explain? That this paper says I owe $491? Come on, man. The paper says clearly right here, man. A rental amount, $560. Amount paid, $491. Amount unpaid, $69. How does it say I owe $491? It doesn't say that nowhere on this paper. And you want to give me a written response, man.
Good, Director.
Come on, man. Come on. You guys don't want to you don't want to accept where you was wrong. In November, you evicted me, saying I didn't pay my rent in November, December, and January. You sent the paper in December saying I didn't pay my rent in January. You hadn't even paid your mortgage or anything in January yet, in December for January. January hadn't got there yet. So how was I evicted for January? Clearly on your ledger it says I paid the $1,650. So you evicted me in November, it says. But you evicted me for November, December, and January. I ain't never heard of nothing like that. And you want to give me a written response.
Well, I'd be happy to review it, but you're...
Well, I've been trying to get with you for the longest, too. I need some help here, man. I need this cleared up.
I don't know that
help.
I'm going to be able to clear it up.
Well, how come you can't clear it up?
It's
at all the paper. It's on your paper.
Supposed,
it's on your letterhead.
We're not allowed to negotiate in this.
Okay,
so,
okay. Well, it's on your letterhead.
But I can
everything
talk to you
I
afterwards
have.
If you want to wait.
What'd you say?
I'll talk to you after the meeting if you'd want.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so we are now moving on to
written
communications.
So the usual monthly report is there for the month, actually, of October, because you know we're on an odd schedule at this point. I included a couple of other things that I just want to point out as well. One is Ibalsi's monthly report for Lion Creek Crossing is included for your review as well. The Civic Corps actually wrote us a letter and featured one of our residents, so I wanted to just see that. I put that in the packet. I was grateful that we're still using them. Attitudinal Healing has submitted at the end of their contract. It expired this summer. We had the five-year contract. They have their report for both the Now Workshop and the Leadership Academy. And part of their contract was to submit a third-party final report, which is included. We are currently in the process of rebidding Now and the Leadership, and I just wanted to kind of brief the board quickly on the Now portion of it. Now is the neighborhood orientation workshops, which we started 5 years ago with them. They've completed 5 years of doing them. The evaluation team is looking at that, and they're not recommending anyone get award for Now, and they actually want us to do it in-house because they think we can do it quicker and more efficiently for our residents if we bring it in-house. So I'm looking at that right now. The cost was very prohibitive.
Okay.
And I think for the same cost, we can roll it into our Section 8 orientations as part of that process. The other one is the Leadership Academy, which is the evaluation committee is not done with that one, so I'm not sure. But it also, the bids were very expensive. We got several proposals, and they were very expensive. So we're looking at that to see if we can move it forward or not. But for the Now workshops, the evaluation committee is just recommending OHA do it in-house for less money.
So this is in lieu of... contracting
it out,
as we have been doing.
Yeah, we were contracting out in a ways that it went around the city. We think it might be better to do it as part and in conjunction with the Section 8 orientation. that we do over at 1540 in their orientation room. So we're looking at that, and if I'll let you know in January what we're deciding to do, but I just wanted to let you know that that's the recommendation of the committee. Is they, we got two proposals, one of them, and they don't want, they're not recommending either go forward, okay, at this time. The other thing is just a letter from CAHA, California Association of Housing Authorities, and this was a letter that actually Phil Neville helped the group. CAHA is a statewide organization of housing authority or that advocate really in Sacramento over issues of concern for the housing authorities. This one has to do with tax credit allocation. Mark Stivers is now head of the PCAC for California Allocation Committee. I did attend a conference of another group in Sacramento in November, and he was there, and we did have a fairly heated discussion that started with a discussion about fair market rents in Oakland because they wanted to know about our changes and how we got amendments to fair market rents. The but really was talking about the TCAC going making recommendations on December 14th for limiting tax credit allocations in high poverty, low opportunity neighborhoods, which include a host of neighborhoods in Oakland that would be precluded from filing tax credit applications for 9% tax credits to the Tax Credit Allocation Committee. It's something that, of course, I don't support because it excludes so many neighborhoods in Oakland. And so I did explain that in some very specific detail to Mr. Stivers in a room full of folks, mostly related to the fact, and it's similar to the fair market rent, where they're basing neighborhood indicators and the data on old data to start with. They make absolutely no effort to try and look at other indicators, which are displacement, percent of rent increases that are going on in neighborhoods, and gentrification. And I think that the Tax Credit Allocation Committee, if they're going to go down that route, should actually target areas that are having massive displacement, rent increases, and gentrification, rather than excluding them by using old data in a gentrifying neighborhood. I'm grateful to report that the entire section that I was most opposed to has been removed, so I hear from someone at Sacramento who I think called me to beg me not to come on the 14th because I told them I was more than prepared to jump in the car and go give some testimony on this issue because I just think it's time we stopped the way we categorize neighborhoods and people and we start to look at what's really happening to the people in the neighborhoods. So apparently I wasn't the only one opining, and I know I wasn't because CAHA as a group also opined. But I do think it was helpful to get some time with Mr. Stivers and explain to him why we in Oakland feel like we need to preserve housing and not exclude our housing from being able to apply for tax credits.
Now, why were they denying or wanting to deny 9% credits for certain neighborhoods?
It ties back to some HUD regulations of affirmatively furthering fair housing, and that is excluding. They want tax credit allocations to go into better neighborhoods nationally. And so they're asking allocation committees to not award to what they consider low-income, low-opportunity neighborhoods, which I think is okay to a point, but I lose them when you start saying that you don't want to give tax credit awards in a city that is facing the highest annualized rent increases 3 years in a row in the country, massive displacement and gentrification. It seems to me those are the neighborhoods you should encourage 9% tax credits to be in. And it also makes a real fiscally sound argument, because if you can get into a neighborhood as it or just before it gentrifies as a land asset and the neighborhood gentrifies, you can roll that equity into the deal and you're providing a really healthy neighborhood for someone long term. So those are my arguments for I'm just happy to report that at the end of the day they've removed that from what I hear, and I'll give you a report in January if that's all confirmed. The report has not been released. It'll be released in time for the December 14th committee meeting. I haven't read it yet. So I've also included the meeting dates for all of 2017. And I did want to bring up, and I think it's in my notes, but yeah, it is, so I'll go down my notes. A couple of other, if that's it for communications, I'll go down my comments. I have a few. One is we have exercised a space use agreement with Eastside Arts Alliance for the old annex property, which is an old gas station we had on 12th Street that was getting underused or not used. We've turned it over, and they're going to have art programs that are extending into our kids and our families. and they'll use that property. It's up to 5 years. We figure we may get to developing it down the road, but in the meantime, they were in need of some outdoor spaces, and it allows them to target target services to our residents. And I really want to thank Patricia Wells and William Bailey for making all that happen and getting the space cleaned out and in place. I think it's going to be a real benefit to our residents to have access to art, so I'm happy to support them. The next one is the Northern California NARO date in January is actually the Monday. Sunday's commissioners, and then it goes on Monday and Tuesday, and it conflicts with our board date. And I wanted to get an idea if we would have a quorum in January. So if you could let me know that so we can make plan accordingly, we could. I'll be talking to staff in the next week just to see what we have planned on the agenda for January and see if we want to either move it or cancel it. But I'd like to try and get that done before, depending on how many you attend. So that
Do we
would
know
be,
where that meeting is happening yet?
Yeah, it's we do now. It's yeah, it's in Nampa, and I have the hotel. If I didn't send it, I can send it. And it's Monday, January 23rd meeting is the one I'm talking about. So if we have enough board members that will be there, then we'll move the meeting. If we have to have one before or after, we'll make the adjustment. So if you can let me know after the meeting, email me. I'll send out the date and where it is, and we'll see how many commissioners are attending, whether we want to move the date. The other thing, we have the 36th Annual Holiday Splendor is going to be December 15th, and 36 years. So I'm really looking forward to it. And thanks to Lanita and the chief and all of OHAPD and property management, everybody who volunteers to put that on, but particularly Lanita's staff, who just worked tirelessly and with our residents to plan it. And I will be there. Also, OHAPD is hosting the toy drive on December 31st. They'll be doing their toys. You can make donations to the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation on behalf of the toy drive. You get a check to Tracy. She'll take care of it. Also, wanted to let you know the 12-unit property at 32nd Street has entered into a 10-day escrow, and it looks like we're going to make about $3.6 million, which should create another 25 to 28 units. We've already replaced the 12 units. So I'm really pleased with that, and that's a lot of work on behalf of folks to market it, but it's been a very quick, in the end, listing and sale, and Patricia Wells and Phil Neville have taken care of that and marketed it well. This room is going to start getting worked on tomorrow. So we're going to not have our tall chairs anymore. When you come back, hopefully in January, there'll be a higher floor below us, and we'll have normal chairs, and we're going to move the accessibility so it's more accessible coming up this way rather than that ramp, which I don't approve of. It's too tight. So the ramp will be up this side. That'll be a couple of stairs, and that will more adequately accommodate, I think, our needs. And I'm sorry it's taken so long. We should have done it as soon as we first all occupied this room on my first meeting and realized that this thing was too high, if you remember the meeting.
Yeah.
But it just fell into not a high priority considered what we had to get done. But I do want to absolutely get it done. The other thing, and I also want to mention that we had our all-staff retreat this last Wednesday, which was, I think, really interesting and very well received by staff. I've gotten more emails than I ever have about it and thanking me and how positive people felt about it. We ended up, and we're still analyzing it, having breakout sessions where staff were really talking about if you could invent your own affordable housing program, what would it look like? So it was kind of open the box and discussions, and I think we had some fairly wonderful ideas come forward. Some of them we may have thought of, and some of them were surprising how strongly staff felt about different things. So I'm going to be looking at that, because as we move forward and farther even out of the box with MTW, if nothing else, then I want to be able to see what we can do now. But also, if we can get ideas even to this new administration of what they can do and how they can do it differently in a way that we think would really benefit us and our residents, then I want to do that. Lastly, I just want to talk about the state of HUD and federal funding and where we are. Just to give you an idea that they have until December 9th to pass a continuing resolution. Assuming that they do that, and I am told that they will do that, they're currently negotiating how long. It was originally going to be a continuing resolution that would go through September. More recently, Speaker Ryan has said that it's going to go through March, which would coincide with the debt ceiling change. So it would be this great dramatic March. What they want to do is kick the can so that it can't be vetoed by Obama, so they don't have to override any of that. and come back. And the reason that's somewhat telling is it says that, and this all came from the fact that President-elect wanted them to do a shorter, didn't want the whole year. He wanted to come back. And so Ryan is now saying it's up to the Senate leadership to decide how long and when the deadline is, but they're going to get something done. But it looks like we may have out of the gate some fairly significant issues next year. Because he's trying to tie it to the debt ceiling, whether or not the federal government can borrow, whether or not they should, that all coming into one, I think they're trying to make more of a case of really talking about severe changes and cuts that particularly the Ryan camp of that party have been trying to do for a very long time. Whether that succeeds or not, I'm not certain. What its impact's going to be on HUD, I'm not necessarily certain. But I think he does really want to renegotiate all of the federal spending levels on in all of the appropriation groups, including THUD, which is Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development. Anyway, that's I think, part of what we're in store for. It's not going to be a smooth ride. And I think we're dealing with dueling agendas within the Republican Party. When I was in D.C. before Thanksgiving, we met with two congresspeople who, one in South Florida and one from outside of St. Louis, both Republicans. And both, once we closed the door, really could only say that they have no idea what this president is going to have on their agenda for HUD. They don't know. So I think that was the most honest thing I've heard someone in Washington say in quite a long time. I don't know where we're going to be. I know we're positioned well to survive the storm and better than a lot of our counterparts. But I think it's going to take some persistence and some loudness in the next period to defend what we believe is right. And I want to give you a quote, and I pasted it from Speaker Ryan. He wanted to bring the new Republican government, he wants to bring the budget into the new Republican government in place so he won't have to negotiate appropriations with the current government, which they think is going to be much better at negotiations when the existing administration has left, that we have a lot of problems and they need to, and, you know, and they have a lot of problems in the way that we have spent money. So you have that still fraction of that party that is going to try and do severe changes to the way appropriations is handled, and I think that's going to be one of the first things out of the gate. On some of, you know, there's always pluses and minuses to any situation. In terms of one of the pluses that I do support is looking at how you can unburden the programs from some of the unnecessary regulations that have gone on, rules and regulations that have constricted and cost money, unfunded mandates. They have asked the housing authorities or some housing authorities provide lists of what they think could be changed. There is an aggressive, I think, desire, in fact, of the new incoming administration to change as many rules and executive orders as possible. I am also told, and this will be my last aside, that for every regulation they want to put in place, they have to offer up two that they're cutting. Because that makes so much sense. All right, I'm done. Thank you all. We're here for any questions.
Thank you, Eric. So now let's see. Then we're going to move to reports of commission committees. I don't believe that we had any meetings, did we? Nope. And so now we have announcements by commissioners. No, there's no reports of commissioners. It's
just announcements.
It's strictly announcements. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Commissioner Hurd.
Oh, bear with me. Don't, please, bear with me. I had a couple things I wanted to say. First of all, I want to thank our staff. How much I appreciate you. I was in the customer service center this week and just waiting to get some help and being able to observe how staff works with our residents, and it's just so beautiful how caring and considerate you guys are. So I really want to thank you for how you help our residents. A couple things. Lenita Lenita, most importantly, I want to thank you, your department, and how you guys help our residents. I was reading the report. I really appreciate the Civic Corps in putting the student, this person in there. Really enjoyed reading that. Thank you for doing that. And in reading the report, looking at all the people that were helping the employment and economic development, 13 residents received job retention, very important. 18 residents received individual assistance with a lot of our services. Section 3, career development and training. And the Jobs Plus program, 95 residents have signed up to enroll. Great, I was really pleased in reading that. And two more comments here. This might be for Andreas. The rent increases, 282 rent increases requested. How do we grant those? Do we look at them? Are they all approved? What is that process, rent increases?
They go through a fairly long review. Michelle, do you want to do it briefly, or we can explain after the meeting?
I would just...
We could do it after the meeting.
I would just interject that this would be, because this is going into an area of actual discussion, mm-hmm. that I think that this should be something on the agenda
okay.
afterwards or off.
Not a problem.
Right. Is that right, Jennifer?
Is that right?
Yeah, and we can actually go through the process
with
you.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Fine, okay,
so just one last comment. Okay, so... on Thursday, December 1st, I was on the National Stakeholders Conference call with Secretary Julian Castro. Oh, my God, that was so exciting. He made the announcement that all of public housing in the nation is going smoke-free. And I was really pleased to hear that because that's something that work that I'm doing right now on our college campus. And, people are affected by not having a smoke-free environment. So I was really pleased to hear that. And I attended the RAP meeting, and I attended the leaders' gathering, and I think that's it. So I just wanted to make sure that I thanked our staff, how much I appreciate you. And just in that customer service office on Thursday, just waiting to get help myself, and just observing how compassionate you are with helping our residents. So I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you. Thank you. And Ms. Wright, thank you for your volunteer. Thank you for volunteering for us. Thank you. I'm done now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hurt. Do we have any other announcements?
Well, I should say one announcement that all the OHA staff, you guys are so incredible on the hard work you put into making sure OHA, especially Oakland, is one of the best housing authorities around, I think.
Yes.
And so I'm honored to serve as a commissioner, but
yes.
I'm just thanking you all for your hard work and your heart. And happy holidays, whatever you celebrate.
Splendor?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
It has been moved to adjourn and
seconded.
Therefore, we adjourn, and we are wishing everyone happy holidays.